Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Joy Kelly. Joy has more than 25 years of educational experience in public and parochial schools as a teacher, coach, mentor, associate principal, and principal. In 2015, Joy was named Iowa Associate Principal of the Year. She also provides coaching and training for new administrators in Iowa. Joy serves as a leadership coach for administrators across the country on behalf of Jimmy Casas and Associates. Joy earned a bachelor's degree in history from the University of Iowa, a master's degree in educational leadership from the University of Northern Iowa, and she's a licensed PK through 12 superintendent with a specialist degree from the University of Iowa. In March, Joy and Jimmy Casas released their book titled Handle with Care, Managing Difficult Situations in Schools with Dignity and Respect. Welcome to the podcast, Joy.
Thank you, Dana. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Well, I think everybody's been in the trenches, certainly since COVID hit. And, you know, I know people use the term pivot, that people have to pivot, whether it's going from hybrid learning to online learning, back to hybrid or 100% in person. I have moved from the pivot term to whiplash because most of us were in such changes and so quickly and with very short amount of turnaround time, that is being in the trenches. But I certainly in my own building, the staff and administration, the students and the families were just phenomenal with all the difficult situations that were thrown at everybody. But I also think that was true throughout the country. I mean, just so many people across the country. And I know educators were completely worn out by the end of the school year. And so I hope everybody took a good rest during the summer as they geared up to come back for the school year. But that certainly is one piece being in the trenches. I guess where you dig out, I think probably, you know, I was asked one time in an interview, what's been the most difficult thing about being a school administrator? And hands down, it's the loss of a student or a staff member. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our school system experienced three of those this last year, you know, a student in June and two staff members in September. And it was an extraordinarily painful time. But all of your focus and energy, you know, for me anyhow, had to go on to, you know, the families most deeply affected, our staff and our students most deeply affected, and making sure that we were meeting the needs and really checking in on people and making sure that people were, you know, managing to the best of their ability, but felt the support and love from their school people and from their colleagues. And so that was certainly one of the most difficult areas. And even though you kind of come out of it, you never forget it. Mm-hmm. You never forget those families. You never forget the experience that they certainly have gone through and will go through for the rest of their life. And you kind of hear that all the time in your heart, or at least I do.
Mm-hmm. And just having that positive school culture and, you know, being able to reach out to those families and be there for them, you know, I, you know, totally understand that. Just, you know, what happens when there is a loss and, you know, how difficult it is to work through that. And, you know, we're looking for, you know, more positive school year, this upcoming 21-22 mm-hmm. school year with, you know, more normalcy, as we can
right.
say.
And, you know, to your point, Dana, about, you know, your school culture, yeah. and there are things that have happened all throughout the country and even throughout, you know, the pandemic and, you know, adults in schools who have had huge missteps or made yeah. big mistakes or criminal activity or yeah. those kinds of things. And COVID, you know, those would be other examples where your culture is either going to be tested or illuminated.
Yeah.
And in cultures where people know each other, care about each other, have a healthy, vibrant culture among the adults and at the service of the students and the families, you can really do very amazing things and people will pitch in rather than pile on. And I think sometimes when school cultures are super negative, people are looking for something to go wrong. People are looking for an opportunity to pounce. And you just always have to be mindful of that everybody you serve when you're in leadership needs our best. And some days our best is better than other days, but whatever we can do to keep that focus and that energy on the needs of other people is going to be a good thing for your culture.
Yeah, that's so important to hear, is, you know, keeping that energy on their needs and, you know, looking for what you can do to assist people who are going through challenges. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your book, Handle with Care, Managing Difficult Situations in Schools with Dignity and Respect. The title just alludes kind of to that, what we were just talking about. So talk to me about the process of writing the book. You wrote it in conjunction with Jimmy Casas. And tell me about some of your thoughts on challenging behaviors and what schools can consider relative to that in terms of your thoughts in the book.
So one thing I never thought I would be as an author, I do enjoy writing. I enjoy learning from other people. I enjoy, you know, kind of the humanity that comes with our interactions and the difficulties and the challenges and the joys that come in being in leadership. But Jimmy and I worked together for 13 years and he served as principal. He hired me as his associate principal. And then when he left, I assumed the principal's position and was in the school system for 18 years in one school system and loved my time. Several years ago, he and I were talking about culture and how, you know, it's really important to help other leaders recognize and understand what makes positive school cultures. And so the idea of Culturize, the book that Jimmy released, that came about, and he and I were working initially on it together. Fortunately for me, I have 5 children, but unfortunately for the book writing process, it was not the time for me to be doing that because of the needs of my family at that time. So I told Jimmy, you keep going, you know, get it done and get it out there, because it's just such valuable thoughts and practical insights. And so the book Culturize is really something that has taken off, and it's just been great. And since that time, Jimmy's remained kind of on me a little bit about, you know, you need it right. You can do this, and this is something we could do together again, because he really wanted to do that. And so that's how Handle with Care came about. The bulk of Handle with Care we wrote in the 2018 and 19, and just couldn't get it finished. And then things happened, certainly with COVID and so forth, and so took a step back. And then it came out here in March. And so it's been a very interesting process. It's been a good process. You tweak some more, and you know, even when it comes out, that's like, oh, I should have thought of this, or, you know, we should have included that, or, you know, so it's just a process. But one of the things that I think is really important to focus on is that whatever I have to offer, if it can help one teacher, one school leader, you know, somebody to focus a little bit more on developing a relationship with their students or their staff or their families, we can continue to get better together, even though we don't live in each other's worlds. And that's the beauty of books. And so that was a really good experience. One of the things we really focus on the book is about behavior and challenging behaviors, because I think people can universally agree there certainly has been an uptick, and some of those behaviors are going to continue to get more difficult and more challenging, because prior to COVID, there are kids who had trauma, you know, whether it's a parent incarcerated, a parent with mental health issues, drug or alcohol dependency, mental health issues. Kids were, you know, living in situations that were pretty amazing, and they continue to. But COVID is a little bit of a game changer in that it was sort of universal trauma. And now, and not just for the kids, you know, I think as school leaders, we need to be very mindful of what our staff is going through all this process. And so throughout the book, Handle It With Care, we talk about sort of challenging behaviors and how we as schools, how we approach those and invest time and energy and recognize that a lot of kids have not had a model, you know, in terms of self-regulation, self-management. And so when we can start teaching those skills, I think people, you know, tend to focus on, well, they refuse to get better, you know, they refuse to improve. So there's a will and a skill issue. Sometimes it's will, most time it's skill. And on a lot in between, it's both, you know, they want to do better, but they don't have the skill set to get better. Mm-hmm. And so when you can help other adults interact with those kids and influence them in positive ways, I think that is really what helps your school culture. It helps what goes on in your classroom. And it helps when those kids leave your school, it's not a, thank God I'm out of there. Yeah. It's a, I grew as a person, you know, and even young kids recognize that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We talked a little bit in the pre-chat about just that piece of behavior. It's a form of communication for both staff and students. And, you know, both of us have worked in schools where students get sent down to the office for sometimes not having a pencil, as banal as that, or just that typical, you know, F-bombs to the teacher, right? And so when, you know, there are those type of behaviors that send kids to the office, what can we as leaders do to kind of change that mindset and, you know, maybe some professional development or just kind of talks with the teachers and, you know, having them develop a more positive culture in their classroom?
Well, and I think it does start with recognizing what behavior is. It is a form of communication. And when kids come in and they are prepared, they're ready to go, they're well rested, they are well nourished, they have, you know, the support in every which way, their school experience is going to be very different than somebody who is experiencing food insecurity or some of those other things that we talked about earlier. And you know, when you talk about referrals, interestingly, you know, years ago when it was paper copy, you know, I get a referral that says, student F-bomb me, please drop from class. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, and I get the student in my office to try to say, well, tell me from your perspective what happened here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, almost always the initial thing is, well, you're just going to believe the teacher. Just give me the consequence. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't want to know from your perspective what had happened. And if I treated it focused just on the referral, which said, student F-bombed me, please drop from class, I would never have learned that the student arrived late to class and the teacher took a dig at the student. And when he was late to class, the teacher shortly into class collecting homework assignments, you know, pokes him and says, I don't suppose you have this hand ready to hand in, do you? You know, second dig for the kid. And then later when they go to do an activity, you know, they'd have to take out their pen or pencil and the student, you know, that didn't have a pencil, you know, and the teacher made some comment, well, no shocker, you're not prepared for class. Mm-hmm. And so the F-bomb was a result of the three digs, you know, and God only knows what else the young man was dealing with before he even got into the classroom. And so in that situation, you know, kind of my question is, whose behavior really needs to be checked here? Mm-hmm. Completely inappropriate for a student to F-bomb a staff member, and you have to work through that, and certainly discipline. I do want to say a word on discipline, because I think discipline can look two ways. It can look as punishment, mm-hmm. or it can look as consequences. Mm-hmm. And when discipline looks like punishment, basically, I have the authority to do this to you, and I'm going to weaponize my authority and, you know, punish you in this way. Mm-hmm. Where consequences is, hey, look, you know what? I want you to learn from this, and I'm giving you a consequence, and here's a consequence, because the next time around, I want you to recognize, hey, that didn't work out so well for me last time, and really hone in on your self-management skills. And that's very different. Kids hardly ever quibble with a consequence. Punishment is a different thing. And if it feels like punishment, it's not going to change the behavior. It's only going to add more stress and strain between the relationships, and more stress and strain with how the student feels about being at school. And so very important to certainly address, you know, the challenging behavior. One of the things when you talk about, you know, being sent to the office for not having a pencil, and, you know, I've been fortunate that, you know, most of my professional life, you know, I've dealt with teachers who really want to be supportive of students and really want to help the students. And so rather than sending that referral after class where the teacher gets to be the good cop because they never said an issue to the student, now the administrator, because we have this referral, now the administrator is the bad cop. And it really shouldn't be either or. You know, the teacher, if the teacher can keep the student at the end of class, you know, imagine if that teacher, when the student came in late to class, had just said to that student, hey, I'm glad to see you. Thanks for getting here. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when you collect an assignment, you know who has it out and who doesn't. If you had just poked that kid on the shoulder and say, hey, just hand it in to me tomorrow, or just set the pencil on his desk. You know, you don't even have to make a comment. You know, just figure out ways to bridge that gap so that that kid feels more engaged, that they feel, because they know when they are seen, they know when they are heard, they know when they are valued, and they know when they're cared about, and they know when they aren't. And when they aren't and they don't have that experience, it's going to be a really negative experience for the student and for the teacher as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, in general, we just need to, you know, focus on like just you know, the behaviors in general of like everybody in the building, right? Because it kind of ties back to, I was in a book club with the Jennifer Abrams book, of just having hard conversations. And it talks a lot about just a workplace culture, right? And, you know, we don't know what our staff are dealing with, right? And it's having the self-regulation skills as adults to interact, you know, appropriately with our students. And, you know, I think it also.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow. And the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Also just depends on the person, right? And sometimes their experience level in the classroom, but like you're saying, there, you know, there are other ways to approach it, and you know, having that positive welcoming to the student, right? You know, there are students, I remember when I was teaching, that would come late often, right? And that's just kind of, how do you react to that, right? Or do you dig down and find out maybe there's a reason they had to drop off younger siblings at their school, right, or something like that, instead of the teacher blowing up and, you know, sending them down because they were late a certain time.
Well, or even leading with tardy, you know, give them tardies and whatever. If I had a nickel for every day a staff member was late to school, you know, and I get that because, you know, I have a lot of patience and tolerance, especially when I have staff member who have little children that they're trying to get out in the morning, mm-hmm. or elderly parents that they're taking care of. You know, they just, things are fairly unpredictable for them. But the reason we chose the title Handle with Care is because, you know, when you think of that image of, you know, when the box is labeled Handle with Care, it's fragile. We want to make sure it gets transported and doesn't get broken or anything like that. Well, that's the label on it. Mm-hmm. And the challenge of what we try to issue in the book is, why do we need that label? You know, I had a few years ago, a student who was, you know, not performing well in a class. And long story short, the teacher did not want to do a grade change for the student and said, mm-hmm. take it the final grade, even though the student had handed in some work. And so I said to the registrar, ask why the teacher's not willing to accept the work. And then got this litany back of not on time, it was late, had to really try to track her down to get it done and so forth. And so I went down to the teacher. I said, hey, I just want to touch base with you. And I'm sorry that you didn't have this information, but I said, I don't know if you're aware, she and her family have been homeless for the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's a difficult. And of course the teacher went, oh, okay. Yeah. But then interestingly, she said, well, if I had known that, you know, then it wouldn't have made an issue. And then my response was, why do we have to know that? Why do we have to know the details of somebody's challenging situation to have that empathy, to have that compassion? Even if that teacher had said to that student, hey, you know what, I just want to touch base with you. I thought you were going to hand these things in last week, Emery. Is something getting in your way, you know, being able to do this? Or is there some way I can help and support you? Because that student probably would have opened up to a degree because the student opened up to me, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The student probably would have opened up to a degree. But the challenge in the book is, how can we treat our colleagues and our students and the families we work with a spirit that is, you know, a life-giving energy, you know, where there's goodwill assumed, where we have the positive perspective or positive outlook about the other person, or assume the best about them, versus a death energy, you know, of gossip, innuendo, you know, negativity, negative assumptions, whatever. And so that's where we as adults do have some opportunities to make some decisions in terms of how we're going to interact with others.
Yeah, and it kind of ties back to, I remember there's a video on YouTube, it's like a 2 or 3 minute clip of, like, you know, interactions with adults in the building, and sometimes their interactions with students, and then, you know, you have that like on the screen of, you know, such and such teacher just lost their husband, or such and such, you know,
all these
backstories, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen that video, right?
Yes, I'm just recalling it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like, you know, we don't know what's going on sometimes with other staff as well, but also having that lens of, you know, seeing, you know, how can we interact and how can we, you know, just find out what's going on. And, you know, as we come out of this, the challenging year that we had last year, and there's still challenges for a lot of our staff members. So tell me a little bit in your thoughts about how this ties into toxic school culture, especially for, let's say, you know, as we start the school year, there are a lot of, new principals, new leaders in schools that might have been brought in to turn around schools. So if they're faced with that challenge of kind of rebuilding a school that has a toxic school culture, how can your book and some of the thoughts of your experiences help in that that term?
Well, I think the relationship piece among the adults and between that new leader and their staff is vitally important. And when I say relationships, not just congenial ones where, you know, hey, did you have a good weekend or nice to see you today or that, boy, that's a nice tie. You know, those are just sort of basic human interactions, but really collegial relationships where you really lean into, look, I've been charged here to try to, you know, turn this around, own it. You know, mm-hmm. I need to know from you what you think needs to happen. You know, what suggestions do you have? What do you think are the barriers for these students to be successful? What do I need to do to help and support staff? So really asking staff would be certainly as a start. But we talk about this in the book that development of trust, you know, is so critically important. And one of the major components of trust is being a gatekeeper, you know. When you really know your staff, I really challenge people, really know your staff, like know whose husband just was laid off, know whose sister is going through breast cancer, know whose, you know, child is going through some health issues, whatever it is. When you really know your people, they share those things with you because they want you to know. But when that happens, we have to really honor the fact that they've shared that with them and be a gatekeeper. You don't need to share that information with anybody who does not have a need to know. When I have a staff member comes to me, if it directly impacts, you know, what's going on at the school, I will say to that person, would you be comfortable if I shared it with your team leader? Would you be comfortable if I shared it with, you know, the administrator who oversees your area, just so that there's awareness? If the answer is no, I don't share it, you know, because it's not my news to share. But it's just really important, you know, making sure that they have the support they need, you know, making sure they know about the employee assistance program. What else can we do to help and support you here? I had a staff member whose mother was terminally ill with cancer, you know, and the hospice house was not particularly far from the school, you know, and my message to her very clearly was, you take every prep. If you need to come late, you need to leave early, you need to go over at lunch, you need to do whatever. You just tell me what you need so that we make sure that you get that. The last thing I ever want is for a staff member to regret not spending the time or the energy with a dying parent or spouse because they're worried about school, mm-hmm. you know? And the thing that I've always been so grateful for is don't even have to ask other staff, hey, so-and-so might need some coverage. Hey, we're in. We'll help. We'll take care of it. And when you develop those relationships with people and the staff, I always tell my staff, I want you to look as forward to coming to work on Monday as you do going home on Friday. Mm-hmm. But I need you looking more forward to going home on Friday than coming to work on Monday. Mm-hmm. You have to take care of your life, your personal life, and have that, you know, in safe, productive, healthy ways for you in order to really be effective in our classrooms. And so that's just a really important thing. And when we are constantly emailing and Sunday sending requests and all those things as leaders, we have to have really good boundaries so that they can live their lives and not feel torn between trying to satisfy something that we need from them from what their family needs from them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that piece about that email, the timing of the emails as well, mm-hmm. right? There's some principals, they'll put out their weekly newsletter like into the evening on Sundays. And, you know, it's sometimes you time those things, but also like if you're an administrator who responds to emails in the weekend, then that sets an example, well, that you expect your staff to be, right, you know, right. on their email in the weekend. So it's like clearly having that example that they need to take their time.
Well, and I want to be really clear. I've not always been good at it. Yeah. I mean, and especially this last year, yeah. because things were coming so fast and so hard. I always feel like it's super important to communicate as effectively and in as much lead time as possible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that can be me being up at 3 o'clock in the morning because my mind is racing, but I've had to try to catch myself a little bit. I figured out, you know, in Gmail, you know, you can send later. So I can write it at 3 o'clock in the morning, but it can be sent at 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. where it's not sending that signal that I'm working at 3 o'clock in the morning. Why aren't you working at 3 o'clock in the morning? The only reason I'm working at 3 o'clock in the morning is because I can't sleep.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about some of the keynotes and virtual presentations that you've done in the summer, and maybe they'll be coming up in the fall.
Okay. Well, you know, it's been kind of interesting in that certainly the book has kind of brought some opportunities, which has been great. Mm-hmm. I'm still a school practitioner, and so I don't really like to be gone very much. Mm-hmm. So summertime was more of an opportunity for me to be able to engage in some of those opportunities. But I spoke to the elementary principals in the state of Utah here in the summer, and that was just a great experience. It's so fun. Especially after a year like this year, to see the number of administrators and teachers who are taking part in professional development opportunities this summer. For those who said, I took the summer off and I just needed to breathe and I don't want to feel obligated, you go. That's great. But there are other people who really wanted to be a part of the ability to come together because things opened up a little bit more during the summer. And so people were able to come together and just really joyfully experiencing that with one another. So those, that's certainly a good experience. Jimmy offered a Live Your Excellence week through Jay Casas and Associates. And I took one of the days and, you know, presented on successful delegation, you know, what that looks and sounds like. And that was just a great opportunity for people to do. It was a Facebook Live, which I don't even have a Facebook account. So that was interesting, but just a really good experience. Probably the thing I really enjoy is the coaching I'm able to do, the one-on-one or small group coaching for other principals. And again, not because, hey, I'm such a great principal and I, you know, have all the ideas, but I do have some experience. I have some gray hair to go with it. And sometimes for our newer administrators, it's helpful to have somebody else kind of reframe issues or reframe, you know, situations so that they're not taking it personally and not, you know, being reactionary. But, you know, probably the best tool I have as both a principal and a leader and a mother is, let me think about that a little bit. Or I say, let me noodle over it, you know, because I don't want to, you know, be reactionary in very few situations. Even, you know, that's one of the things we've had situations, the student is in a fight, it's an automatic suspension. Well, then the question is, how many days is it going to be? Well, it depends on if they were the initiator, the aggressor, or whatever it is. But to be able to say to a parent, hey, look, your child was involved in a fight and I'm sending her home today or sending him home today. And then we're going to investigate this further to figure out, and I'll get back to you tomorrow. You don't have to make those decisions, which can be received really negatively on a split second. When they know we're going to do our due diligence, it's a little bit different than, well, I just decided this kind of randomly. So, you know, taking that time to really try to be thoughtful practitioners and thoughtful decision makers is just something that, you know, my experience, I've grown in that, and I'm just happy to share that with other people.
Yeah, and just kind of mulling through different ideas of ways to deal with situations as you're coaching those clients, I think is a great way, because especially for those newer principals, you know, it's kind of that isolated job where they might not have support in their district, or, you know, call friends that are colleagues in nearby districts that they can ask questions of, or they're afraid of asking the questions. So, yeah, kind of getting advice.
You know, one of the places that I find that to be the most difficult is when the adults have had missteps. Mm-hmm. Student discipline issues is one thing, but when staff have had discipline issues or something that they need to be disciplined about, you know, I find that, you know, and you don't ever share details of individuals or anything like that, but, you know, I just wonder what your thoughts are on this scenario. But when you can talk through that with another person or another practitioner, it just helps inform your thinking a little bit. And one thing that I've been very fortunate, and I appreciate that people, you know, tend to reach out to me and say, hey, what would you do in this situation? And then I can ask a lot of clarifying questions, which help them with their thinking. But also what I'm discovering is whether it's teachers calling parents about a student's performance or behavior in a class, or a principal dealing with a staff member on a discipline issue, we have greater confidence when we have a vocabulary when we're delivering these messages. And for some people, this is just not natural. It doesn't come as easily to them. And so when they can talk with somebody else and literally practice it, they just go into those situations with so much more confidence. And that's helpful to the one who's receiving the message as well, is when we have confidence when we're delivering that.
And maybe working through like a practice conversation as well with a coach.
Right.
Well, out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I think just to always remember that everybody's got a story. You may or may not know it, but I think we can assume that virtually every child who comes through our schools, and adult for that matter, I mean, there's so much work around trauma-informed care and ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and those tools that are used to help people identify, you know, where they fall. And we always are focused on that relative to the students. And the reality is, we have a lot of adults, you know, who are in our classrooms and in our schools who have had their own trauma. And so being mindful of that, whatever anybody's story has been, whether you need to know it or not, you know, just proceed with caution with people, always giving them the benefit of the doubt, you know, always leaving things open. I think one of the most important things is when you talk to staff or students and some decision is made or there's been some difficulty around that, to say to that individual, hey, look, when you leave here, think about it a little bit. And if you want to come back, you say, hey, I didn't understand, Joy, what you meant by that, or I didn't agree with that, you know, whatever it is, you know, to keep that open, to continue the conversation if they need that. The second thing I would say is centers around feedback. And I think feedback is just such an important thing, but it's something we hesitate about because we don't want to hear bad news. You know, that's part of it. I tell my staff all the time, you know, traditionally, principal to teacher feedback, top down, teacher to student, parent to child, you know, top down. And when we can start getting those patterns to be teachers saying to the principal, hey, you know, you might want to rethink this and here's something you might want to consider. Or the student saying to the teacher, is there a reason it has to be due on Friday? Can we have a conversation about having it due on Monday? You know, whatever it might be. So I always tell people, you can give me any kind of feedback. You come and tell me, I disagree, I'm not sure, I think you need to rethink that. But, and then I tell them how to give me feedback, you know, don't come in and say, hey, Joy, this is stupid and you suck and everything's awful. That's not going to work with me. But if you want to come in and say, hey, Joy, I think you need to rethink this and here's why, I'm all for that. But here's the thing that we just need to realize as adults, we can't get any better as principals, leaders, institutions, or as parents or partners, if we aren't willing to hear a little bad news. And that little bad news is designed to help us get better. And so we have to be open to that. So that'd be another main thing I'd want people to focus on.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, that we have to be able to take some feedback, some critical, you know, conversations. And sometimes, you know, having that vice versa feedback does help for the greater culture of the school. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Where can people find you online and connect with you?
Yeah, Dana. So people can reach out to me on Twitter if they want. It's at JoyKelly05, at JoyKelly05.
Great. I will put that information in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Dana.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.